It is 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome to Morning Magazine on Friday, June 3rd of 2022. I am your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up after headlines, we will hear about a local event dedicated to empower the Maasai women in Tanzania. For this first Friday in June, we will visit the site of the NCAR fire on the Nature Almanac. We will also have our regular segment from .org, spotlighting the work on a local nonprofit. Finally, our local sports segment. BBC Update at 8:30, and then Connections will come your way. And your host this morning is Roger Wendell, who will speak with Yori Lewis, an award-winning journalist who writes about agriculture and the environment. Then at 9:30, our Morning of Sound Alternative will bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. All that's still ahead, all made possible by the listeners, members of KGNU. We begin with local news headlines with KGNU's Stacy Johnson.
Governor Jared Polis continues to use his pen this week as he signed a bill aiming to protect Colorado's election workers from harassment and another bill requiring additional security measures for the state's election system. The Colorado County Clerks Association, a group of Republican and Democrat clerks, backed both bills signed by the governor Thursday. The Election Official Protection Act makes it unlawful for anyone to threaten, coerce, or intimidate an election worker or an election official. The act also makes it illegal to share a public official's personal information online with the intent to endanger and harass them. The Colorado Election Securities Act makes it a felony to tamper with election equipment or publish confidential information about the election system. The bill increases election equipment security, requiring that election workers get more training and use a key card to access voting machines. The bill also requires video surveillance of voting systems. Governor Jared Polis has signed a bill to make daylight savings time year-round. KGNU's James Swenson has more.
Don't get too excited about year-round evening light. The new daylight savings bill that Governor Polis signed into law this week only takes effect if Colorado gets permission from the federal government. Currently, states have the option to not jump forward to daylight saving time, but they don't have the option to keep daylight savings time year-round. At least 4 other states in the Mountain Time Zone, including Idaho, Utah, and Montana, also want to keep the extra hour. Governor Polis told the Denver Post, "There is an increasing consensus that just sort of arbitrarily switching the clocks twice a year is confusing and somewhat counterproductive for everybody and upsets their sleep cycle." Supporters of the bill say the time change can affect public health issues associated with circadian rhythms, including more car crashes, heart attacks, and strokes. As great as year light daylight saving sounds as the longest day as the year approaches, opponents say you won't be as convinced during the winter months when the sun won't rise until 8 a.m. For KGNU, I'm James Swenson.
Southwest Airlines filed a federal lawsuit last week against state officials after the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment issued a citation in March saying the company violated dozens of labor laws. The agency's citation says the airline refused to provide COVID-19 sick leave for employees who tested positive for the virus, along with penalizing employees who took leave for other medical needs. The agency also says the airline failed to provide notice to employees of their right to take leave. Along with the citation, the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment ordered Southwest to pay $1.3 million in fines. According to the Denver Post, the full appeal is pending before the agency's administrative law judge, who in May denied the airline's request to delay enforcement of the citation. Through its legal challenges to the state, Southwest argues Colorado's paid sick leave requirements contradict the collective bargaining agreements with its unions and interfere with the airline's enforcement of attendance policies, which lead to flight delays and cancellations. Southwest has also filed a separate complaint in Denver District Court seeking judicial review. As algae blooms become more frequent in Colorado's reservoirs, water quality officials are asking residents to use less phosphorus on their grass. According to the Environmental Services Manager at Aurora Water, increasing levels of phosphorus from lawn fertilizers reach streams and lakes through storm water. These chemicals become a leading creator of blue-green algae. The toxins from the algae can harm people and pets, along with creating odors and degrading water quality. Reduced water levels from drought, along with increased frequency of 90-plus degree days, make these blooms even worse. According to Freshwater News, water officials overseeing reservoirs have been trying treatment methods such as injecting oxygen into the water and weighing phosphorus down with alum so it becomes encased in mud and silt on a lake bottom. Water officials say the best and most cost-effective tool to stop blue algae is for residents to slash their use of phosphorus-based lawn fertilizers. Road trippers, travel history buffs, and pie-tasting aficionados will get an opportunity to tour the Genoa, Colorado landmark of the World's Wonder View Tower on Sunday, June 5th from 2 to 5 p.m., along with eating slices of pie. The 60-foot-tall tower on the I-70 Eastern Plains allows visitors on a clear day to see six states: Kansas, Nebraska, Wyoming, New Mexico, South Dakota, and of course, Colorado. The roadside fuel stop attraction of the earlier 20th century also holds collections of oddities and lays claim to a 1930s confirmation that it is the highest point between New York and Denver. Friends of the Genoa Tower are hosting the Pie Social event to raise additional funds to complete restoration of the 1926 tower and other planned amenities. The Pie Tasting Social includes tours and an auction of hand-painted ceramic pie plates. Today's weather along the Upper Metro Front Range includes a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Skies will be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Fort Collins will have increased clouds with winds gusting as high as 21 miles per hour. Tonight, skies will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s, low 50s. The current temperature in Boulder is 52 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine.
The Maasai people are known for their distinct culture. They live in Tanzania, savanna, a world-renowned place for their wildlife that draws lots of travelers. The Maasai people are known for the bright, colorful shukas they wrap themselves with. Angel Molel is one of them, a Maasai, adopted by an American family who has been living in Colorado for a long time already. She has been conscious about the situation of their people in the village, and she has been coming up with different projects to provide opportunities for education to children, and now empowering women by promoting their artsy beat craft.
My name is Angel Molel. I am a media production major at CU Boulder. I'm actually going to be a junior, so time flies. But I was not always from Colorado. I was born in a small village in northern Tanzania. I grew up with 16 siblings, two moms and one dad. And it was to the Maasai culture, which allows men to marry more than one wife. That's why my dad had two wives. I had a passion for education, and I urged my dad to enroll me in the school, which he did. And that's where I met my adoptive dad, Tony Mataroli, and he just fell in love with me. I fell in love with him. And in 2012, he brought me to the States. So I had this opportunity to receive a great education from the United States, which I was very happy about since my culture did not really educate women. And so I just knew straight on that I have this opportunity. I'm in a new place now. I can build a life for myself. And it hurt me that the women back in my village didn't have the same opportunity. So that's really the reason why I started One Love. I knew the children back home couldn't afford to go to school. So I told my adoptive dad, we have to do something. And so in 2018, we came up together and started the One Love nonprofit by ourselves, just back in Thornton. It's just been him and I running it ever since. We're educating six children right now. We've brought electricity to the village. We've brought clean water. And then last year, I I was home and I was like, why don't I just have the women make beads? I mean, that's such a simple thing. And I actually am wearing some of it, as you can tell right now. I mean, it's just like simple, little, beautiful, unique beads. And I just told them, make them and I can take them to the States and maybe sell them for you guys and send the money back and you can start small businesses. And so that kind of just like kicked off. We had our first event last year. Everybody loved it. Everybody loved all the beads. And when I sent the money back to the women, they could not even believe it. And so that brought them revenue. And now some of them have even started small businesses. And I'm like, this is such a huge thing, just because, first of all, my culture does not educate women. It has started to educate them in the past maybe 10 years, but that's not always, like, my dad and my mom have never been educated. So, I mean, education is a very new thing. And so for them to take this as, you know, we have to start businesses just because of this annual bead event, I mean, that empowered me to keep going, just because I mean, it brought so much change to their lives.
What would you say to others that are in the same situation as you with so much privilege? Right now, a lot of students graduated from CU Boulder and they are going to jobs, they are going to, you know, new adventures and new things. What would you say to them? Because there's a huge need right now in our world for people like you that are thinking, that are visionaries of thinking, there's little things that people can do to improve the lives of others that are struggling, especially now with climate change, because you mentioned there's a drought in your village.
Yep. I would say to them, don't take anything for granted. There's so much resources here, especially in the United States. I mean, I have so much resources and I'm just like, I mean, I have to change my life for the better and then change the other people's lives for the better. There's always someone who needs help, which is so sad to say, but like you might have water inside your house, but there's someone else that's walking miles to just get a little gallon of that water. And so my thing is, don't take anything for granted. Help someone if you can.
Tell us about the details of this event again so that people can join you and keep on supporting this initiative that helps the whole village.
Yeah, so this Saturday, June 4th from 1 to 4, we are hosting an event for One Love. And it's the annual bead event to empower the women back in my village. We have a lot of amazing beads. We have jackets. We have so many amazing things. And we actually are holding a raffle for one of their amazing artwork from the village. So I'm very excited about that. And it's really to empower. I mean, I keep saying empower, but it really does empower the women back in the village to just keep going, keep growing other businesses. They even receive revenue to buy food maybe this coming week or the week after that. And so it really does change their lives. And yep, it is this Saturday from 1 to 4. And you can come, bring your friends, your family members, anybody.
Really, my heart goes to you because I did the same of encouraging people in my country to send me their jewelry made out of tawa, that is like a root that comes from a tree, and then they carve it and then they put colors on it and it looks sensational. As a matter of fact, I'm also wearing one that's made out of tawa. I have bead with them and it is a feeling of being in community that does not, there's no words to explain.
These women have so much talent. I mean, making a beads like that, I mean that looks so beautiful, but it takes so much work, and so they have a lot of talent. So it's gonna be at 11859 North Pecos Street, Westminster, Colorado, 80234. We did change it from Broomfield to Westminster.
That was Angel Molel talking about the second annual Beat event happening this coming Saturday, June 4th in Westminster. For more information, you can go to onelove.org. Up next, we bring you our monthly look at the natural world on the Nature Almanac.
It's June. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Scott Sievers, Ruth Carol Cushman, and Steve Jones.
Chat. There's another chat here.
The chat has a really
great yellow breast. They're aptly named because they have all sorts of vocalizations, almost like a mockingbird.
The chats love these shrub lamps, right at the mouth of all our foothills canyons. This is a jungle of shrubbery now in Lower Bear Canyon. Bird watchers love it and the birds love it.
So we're crossing Bear Creek. We're headed up to the Ncar fire, which burned earlier this year.
I was even surprised we had a fire in late March because it had been so wet. January and February were twice as wet as average, and March was average, and you just don't expect fires in those conditions.
Hear that one that goes, do we go weep?
Immature rose breasted grosbeak or what?
It's something that shouldn't be here. Do we whip? That one.
Oh, that one, yeah.
It's a wide-eyed vireo.
It's a wide-eyed vireo.
Are you catching the vireo at all, Carol?
I hear a little bit of it, yeah. Mm.
They usually nest south of here. This is just a species that doesn't come through here much at all.
Lazuli bunting.
I think this is our prettiest bird. They're named for the lapis lazuli, which is a precious stone, and they're really that beautiful turquoise color on their heads.
I think he's got a mate in tow.
Yeah.
At this time of the morning, that could be a pair looking for a place to put a nest.
It's the song right there. It's in front of us on the right, but we can't quite see it. There's a female right in front of me, about 15 feet away. There she goes. The females are quite brown. Here's the male out, very out on the edge of the shrubbery. Very beautiful, very blue. Now he's flying across. Oh, no. Whoops.
Yeah, he stayed and she kept going.
That was her.
Yeah.
I thought I saw a flash of blue, so she's still here. House wren, yellow warbler singing behind me. It's just alive with birds here this morning. There goes the hummer. And now that it's the 1st of June, they're not just showing up, but they're now getting into their nesting ritual, and they're much easier to see when they're nesting.
And that really green grass up there on the other side of the gully, that's the new grass that's come in after the fire, do you think, Scott?
Yes. This might have been the location of the fire start in the bottom of the creek.
The Ncar fire was 2 months ago. We're looking south across Bear Creek, and probably in our lifetimes, we'll never see a greener area of landscape in Boulder County. This looks like the Emerald Isle, doesn't it? It looks like Ireland. You know this is a burned area because if you look across the road where it hasn't burned, you'll see all these golden yellow from last year's grasses. I mean, I even find this scorched ponderosa pines pretty because I know what's coming is we're going to have a more open ecosystem here.
A lot of times the fire actually regenerates those shrubs and they come back healthier. They might even be more dense eventually.
In the long run, it will be better for so many of our native, especially birds. We know there's this catastrophic change occurring on the Earth, and it's climate change. It is the next great extinction event. It's going to kill at least half of the species on Earth, we're pretty sure, and it could be worse. And we're all very sad about that. But I think we make the mistake of attributing everything that happens to climate change. The other thing that's going on is we live in the most variable climate practically in North America here in Boulder County. Spring snowstorms and our natural fires, they're part of life and they're part of living here.
Scott Sievers, Ruth Carol Cushman, and Steve Jones are friends and Boulder naturalists.
Time now for .org, our regular Friday feature spotlighting the work of a local nonprofit.
Welcome to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits.
Hi, this is Chris Schultz with KGNews.org, and I'm here with Jenna Clinchard from Rise Against Suicide. Jenna, you want to tell us a little bit about your organization?
So Rise Against Suicide is a local nonprofit. We serve uninsured and underinsured youth that are struggling with suicidal ideation. We connect those youth with a licensed therapist. We were originally started as Second Wind Fund of Boulder County. We were an affiliate of a group that's in Denver. That group in 2002 started because in Jefferson County, they lost 4 kids to suicide in about a month. So 4 community members came together and did a clothing drive. And the money that they made, they were trying to figure out what would be the biggest direct impact. They said, we want to provide free therapy for suicidal youth that can't afford it. Another big question that we had, Chris, was do we want to put the word suicide in our name? We brainstormed it and we worked through it and we thought, yeah, we do, because that's what we do. We're breaking the stigma, right? We're calling it out. We need to start talking about it. So that's how we came up with Rise Against Suicide. So our name changed in 2020. 80% of our referrals come from the schools. Also, a parent or a child that's 12 years and older can call us directly. They can just call Rise Against Suicide at 720-212-7527. And we can get a child set up to have a suicide risk assessment within 24 hours. And then if that child qualifies for our services, then they can start with one of our counselors if they need to within 72 hours. We cover all children that live within the BVSD and all children that live within St. Vrain Valley School District. Now, we'll also see homeschooled kids. We'll see homeless youth. So you don't necessarily have to be going to school within the district. You just have to live within that area. We always ask for volunteers, and people can go to our website at riseagainstsuicide.org, and they can register to become a volunteer with us. We have 2 major fundraisers. One is our Holiday Star program, and it starts in November. And we put stars out, and we ask people to give the gift of mental health. And then people can choose a star with a child's name. Our second biggest fundraiser is the first Sunday of May. It's called our Emerge 5K race. So I'd just like to say, if you know of a young person 19 years old or younger that is struggling with suicidal ideation, please reach out to Rise Against Suicide. Please know that this child is not alone. You're not alone as a family, and we're here to help. And we understand that your child and this child and young person needs help quickly, and we can offer that as well.
You've been listening to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits. For more .orgs or for more information on this episode, visit news.kgnu.org.
As always, we close our Friday morning magazine with our local sports segment.
Sports, 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 sports. Y'all talking about sports? Yeah, we talking about sports. Hello and welcome back to this week's edition of Sports Talk with Jimmy. I am your host, Jimmy Searfoss, and we have quite a bit to talk about today, so let's jump right into it. It is official. Colorado and Colorado State basketball stars Jabari Walker and David Roddy are officially locked into the NBA draft. The way college basketball works is that after you are 1 year removed from high school, you can declare for the NBA draft. Now, after declaring, a player has until June 1st to decide if they want to go back to college or stick with their decision to proceed into the NBA draft. And that day has come and gone, and Jabari Walker and Roddy are sticking with their decision and proceeding into the draft. Walker and Roddy each are not only scored the most points for their team, but played vital roles in leadership positions for Colorado and Colorado State. In ESPN's most recent mock draft, Roddy is predicted to go 47th overall to the Memphis Grizzlies. Walker is predicted to go undrafted. We wish them the best of luck in the upcoming draft, which will take place June 23rd. For those who don't know, the University of Colorado added a new addition to its football team last year as a new Ralphie joined the squad. She was born in May of 2020 and made her first run leading the Buffaloes onto the field last September against the University of Northern Colorado. Currently, she goes by Ralphie 6, or Baby Ralphie because of her small size,
But for the first time in CU history, it is up to the fans to determine her actual name. While on the field, every Buffalo is known as Ralphie. Previous mascots have gone by the names of Blackout and Tequila to their handlers. If you go on CUBuffs.com, there is a link to a voting site where people will have four options of names to choose from. These include Blitz, Ember, Tiny, and Sixer. With each vote, people have the option to donate to the Ralphie Foundation. The name with the most money wins. The name currently in the lead is Ember, followed by Blitz, Sixer, and Tiny. The winning name will be announced July 6th, so make sure to get your votes in. We talked about it a little bit last week, but the Front Range is home to three special Olympic athletes. Daniel Chavez from Littleton, Gregory Mark from Berthoud, and Michelle Zhang from Superior are all going to compete in Florida later this month in the Special Olympic Games. Chavez is competing in soccer and representing Colorado on their team. Mark is a Colorado State employee who is celebrating his 50th Special Olympics. He will be competing in the triathlon. Zhang is a 16-year-old tennis player and high school student who will be representing Colorado in the Games. What we didn't get to mention last week is that every athlete has a GoFundMe set up for those to donate and support the athletes on their way to gold. The links will be provided in the description on this segment found on the site kgnu.org or news.kgnu.org. And like I said at the beginning of the show, we had a lot to cover and not a lot of time, and unfortunately, we are out of it. Make sure you check out those GoFundMes. That's a real good cause to donate to. And if you're bored, make sure you check out what the Colorado Avalanche are doing over in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's very special. You have been listening to Sports Talk with Jimmy Searfoss on KGNU. I am Jimmy Searfoss. We'll see you next week at this same time.
And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I have been your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Special thanks to Stacey Johnson, James Swanson, Alexis Kenyon, and all the team of Natural Almanac for their contributions for today's program.